You are listening to Clearly Connected, a podcast that inspires new ways to reconnect to ourselves, to others, and to our environment in a world where so many of us are disconnected. I'm your host, Carrie Doan. I'm a life coach, an entrepreneur, an advocate for change, and a believer in all things possible. Today, I'm going to dive into something that is all the rage right now, manifesting with your mind. I'll be joined by my guest, Kelly Thomas, to share a discussion on the power of the mind to create something out of nothing. We'll share stories and thoughts on the ways we have magically manifested miracles in our own personal lives and exactly how you can do it too. I'm so glad you're here to join us as we move closer to a more deeply connected way of living. Welcome, welcome, all you beautiful people. Today's episode is going to be a fun one for me because we're going to dive into something that I am constantly getting into with my clients. And this is around the topic of manifesting through our mindset. I think most of us know that a healthy mindset involves, you know, finding ways to grow from your thoughts instead of letting your thoughts control your life. But how can you harness those thoughts to make the circumstances that you want real? And so today, to have this fascinating conversation, I have my friend and guest, content strategist, Kelly Thomas of Kelly Grace LLC to join me. So let me go ahead and introduce you to my guest before we dive in. Kelly is a content strategist, an educator, and she's an award-winning writer. Her mission is to help women connect more deeply with their most authentic selves through inclusive, joy-fueled experiences that empower them to access their truth and sit in genuine connection with other kick-ass women. So, Kelly, I love that. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for that lovely introduction. I appreciate it.
Yeah, as I'm reading those words from you, I just thought, wow, we've got a lot in common. Authenticity, connection, kick-ass women. So, I think this is going to be a fun conversation to get into with you. So I'm going to go ahead and start like I do with all my guests. And that is, let's get into a little bit of storytelling. I mean, I know that you are a storyteller through your work, probably naturally gifted as well. And I just want to know, do you mind to tell me a little bit about your story and how your mindset, your mental story has changed now in that you're into your adult life?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a little bit about my story. You know, I grew up in biracial, and my mom was white, my dad was black. And so I grew up in a very homogenous environment where I kind of crafted the story growing up that, like, I didn't fit in, I didn't belong, because, you know, my brother and I were usually the only, like, brown people in a room at school, wherever. So I kind of started to internalize that I don't fit in, I don't belong, and, you know, let that run the show for a long time, or I'm not worthy because I don't really see a lot of, like, others who look like me. And I kind of made that a negative thing where it's like, well, you should fit in, you should be, you know, a lot of shitting on myself when I was younger. And I think the catalyst that sort of, like, rocked a lot of things, and I think a lot of people have experiences where, like, you know, you go through, like, these transformational experiences, was where I lost my mom when I was in my, like, late 20s. And so it was very suddenly, and I kind of was like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, obviously, it's, like, it's not, like, a planned thing. And I think in your late 20s, you're still kind of figuring out who you are. And I had to kind of do that really quickly because I find it kind of felt like the rug was, like, pulled out from underneath me. And so I started, you know, writing poetry, taking writing classes, and, like, exploring my grief for my mom and my childhood growing up biracial, and, like, all these sort of, like, internalized stories I was telling myself about, like, who I was, what was possible. And then I started like sharing that work with others and getting responses where they felt like they saw themselves in like the stories that I was sharing and the poems that I was sharing. And so that really helped me sort of like validate like more and ground into who I was and stop sort of like trying to, you know, fit in because I thought that's what I had to, but stand out with my own words and my own story. So it kind of shifted that narrative around like, well, you need to fit in. You need to do a better job of like trying to, you know, belong versus like, well, you can stand out and still be accepted. And so kind of shifting that narrative through my sort of like acknowledging of my stories and like the internalized stories I was telling myself and like sort of sharing those with others and realizing I wasn't alone. Like even people who didn't look like me, like they still kind of felt in similar ways than I did just by different experiences. So I think like that catalyst to like feeling like I had to sort of like find myself very quickly helped me sort of like shift the story I was telling about myself around like not belonging, not fitting in. And I, you know, I've carried that obviously into adulthood by helping others now, like through the skills that I've learned as a, you know, I went on and got my MFA in creative writing. And then I started teaching composition in creative writing classes and then I got into marketing. And so like, you know, helping others now with like my personal lived experience and also the skills I've gained along the way, you know, share and amplify their voices is what I, you know, do now. But a lot of it was sort of like doing the internal work to discover, you know, who I am and the stories that I'm telling myself too.
I love that. I mean, everything about what you're sharing, it's this journey towards more authenticity, you know, which I know is a common value that we both share. And what I loved about what you said you realized you could still stand out and be accepted.
Yeah.
Which, you know, whether we're conscious of it or not, I think that is a deep need that we all have as human beings. And so to get to that point where you have that validation or sense of peace and security, like I can be myself, is significant. And I love that you got to that point because I think, quite frankly, a lot of people never get there, you know? And sometimes these more dramatic life experiences, like you said, around losing your mom, like those can catalyze that self-exploration or the ability to look a little deeper, like what's really happening here? Whose story am I paying attention to? And so that can kind of like push us further down the track, I think sometimes. And so it's really cool that you were able to grow so much from that experience and now offer that ability to self-express through this skill of writing. So, I mean, as you're talking, one question that came up for me is now as a teacher or in that the time that you've been able to kind of guide other people through the writing process, have you found that the practice of writing opens up space for people to kind of go on a similar path as you? Is that therapeutic or healing in a certain way?
I think that people write for different reasons. And so I think, yeah, if that is what your goal is to do, you know, use writing as like further interior exploration of yourself, then certainly writing can be that tool for you. But I think others, like it's a more, you know, when I was doing my studies in grad school, you know, people didn't necessarily approach it that way. It was more about like getting published and like, you know, learning from the great authors of the time or, you know, contemporary authors or, you know, more historically like respected authors. And so that's another way to sort of write as well. So I think what I'm saying is like, there's many different ways to use writing as a tool, but for me, fundamentally, it is to explore my interiority and then sort of like mine for the gold in that and craft it in a way that it's inclusive in the sense that what I mean is like, you know, using storytelling to invite people into an experience, even in the space of a poem too, and show people an experience. And so they can, you know, they can take with it what they want from it, but to help them kind of like show them, you know, this is my experience. Maybe this something touches on this that kind of reminds you of like an experience or like a feeling that you've had. And so using writing as a way to create connection among others, but it starts with that interior exploration and then finding a way to use it to connect with others. But I think other people can, you know, use writing differently, but I think that's fundamentally how I choose to use it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Going back to the mindset piece, I was thinking too, kind of about my journey a little bit and how it parallels some of the things that you were saying. You know, like I remember when I was in kind of college age, I became obsessed with what I ate and how often I went to the gym. And so I would like track everything that went into my mouth and I would feel guilty if I didn't go to the gym every day. But like, even though my body was healthy at that time, my mind was this toxic place because I was putting these unrealistic expectations on myself. And so, you know, one of the reasons why I write and coach about mindset work now is because I've realized, I think similar to you, is that I'm only as healthy as my mind is. Right. And so the more that I've dug into this mindset work, the more I've noticed those certain patterns mentally that hold us back when we're trying to make those changes in our lives. And I think that when our thoughts are, I guess I call it unhealthy or unsupportive.
Yeah.
We tend to succumb to like insecurity and uncertainty and overwhelm and worry. And so just thinking about the implications of really working with the mind, how it can transfer all of those sort of like difficult or negative feelings into some others of possibility and expansion and optimism. Like it really is a powerful thing. And not to mention all the parts that you were talking about with authenticity and this freedom to be yourself. So I think there's so much power in our thoughts. And I know we're hearing this more and more, you know, but I'm realizing like how powerful they actually are to like literally create what we want. I don't know. Have you experienced that as well in your life?
Yeah, I think it's the thoughts, and it's also like your beliefs about yourself, like what you think is possible, and like how those two feed each other. So for example, if we think about like, you know, how I shared, you know, when I was growing up, like I didn't belong. And like, when I truly felt that, I looked for evidence to confirm it, you know? So like, oh, well, I'm the only brown girl here. Like no one else gets me because like, I'm the weird, like art girl who likes to do X, Y, and Z, or like, I don't play sports or whatever. Like I would look for evidence to confirm my like unbelongingness. I don't know if that's a word, but to confirm that versus like, you know, changing that to be like, I stand out and I'm still accepted. You know, like I can still be like, you know, I'm using air quotes, like the weird art girl, the writer girl, and still be appreciated for, you know, my authenticity and my perspective and my voice. Like, does it just because I have that within me doesn't mean that like I don't fit in. People can appreciate me for that difference and from the gifts and talents and the skills and abilities I bring versus like, oh, I just don't fit in because I'm not like X, Y, and Z. Like shifting that in a way that, you know, A, you feel better about that story that you're telling yourself, and B, then you start to confirm that, you know, like, oh, I do fit in. People like my story, even though they're not necessarily like a creative person, which I think we all are in some way, but maybe not the words, maybe it's painting or dance or whatever. But, you know, shifting that, and then you start to see more evidence of that too. But it's also like, I think it's the thoughts and the belief too. So changing the belief that you hold about yourselves. And then from that, you can, you know, start to sort of shift that narrative that you're telling yourself.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. You know, and this is touching on like another thing that I just want to shout from the rooftops all the time, that there is so much beauty in non-conforming. Like you were saying, that when you realized you could be your unique, true self, that to me is kind of deviating from this, I don't know, this thought or belief that we have to fit in or belong at all costs. And so But actually, when you express who you are fully and uniquely as you are, then it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what to compare it to. It's like a flower coming to life, you know, mm-hmm. like there's an originality about it that can't be duplicated. And yes. So anyways, I just wanted to toss that in there because I think that's something that needs to be reiterated, especially to young people as they figure themselves out, you know? So let's talk a little more about this connection between mindset and how it plays into what we manifest.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think, like we said, our mindset can drastically affect the way that we view the world and ourselves. And I think if we're spending our days in that sort of negative space, then we can't actualize and manifest that dream job or that happy relationship. And I know manifestation is like a buzzword right now.
Yeah.
Some people probably think of like journaling or vision boards or meditation, but I think personally, the most important aspect is a healthy mindset. So yes. I don't know. I'm just curious to know your thoughts about that.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. It's mindset. It's mindset. It's the story that you're telling yourself about what's possible. I mean, like, I'll give a more tangible example. I was for a long time struggling with like accepting the fact that like entrepreneurship and also just someone who like has multiple passions and wants to create like multiple streams of revenue. Like I was having a hard time for a long time accepting that about myself. I thought that I had to conform to, you know, it's nothing wrong with like having a 9-to-5 job. I'm not saying that, but I think that like I was forcing myself to do that or make that the end goal because that's what I was, you know, that's what I thought you had to be acceptable. And so, you know, I ended up being in, you know, a position in a company that I was just not happy in at all. And I finally had to just come to the terms with myself. Like, this is not for me. This is not for me because I was like, okay, I'll just look for another job. I'm like, I don't want another job. I want like to work for myself. So I think, you know, coming to that term again, like it's that like rock bottom, like sort of like trying to having to figure out things like really quickly or just being like, I have to do something to get myself out of this. And so coming to the terms with like, I've got to figure out, you know, what it is that I want and giving myself permission to do that. And so I just said, I want to try like, you know, working for myself, freelancing, you know, working with multiple clients. And I ended up doing it. And because I was very, very scared to take that leap. But in the end, like I ended up like just, you know, making more money than I thought was possible. And, you know, just being kind of seeing like, oh, I can make it on this other side. And not to say that it's been like sunshine and roses and like everything's peachy and dory all the time. But I think like just being coming home to my authentic self and like, you know, realizing like I can, again, like I can stand out or I can just kind of do what I truly want to do. And it turned out better than I thought it was going to be. And I'm still alive. I'm still walking. And I'm actually, you know, happier and, you know, living in more abundance than I was before that. So I think just coming to terms with and being honest about what you really want, even if you're afraid that like how people are going to look at you or like how, you know, if you've been socialized to think that's unacceptable, just kind of giving yourself permission, even if you're afraid to even make that first step, just getting curious about like, what is it that I really want and starting to explore that. And then through that, like, you know, just kind of taking baby steps. So I think mindset, though, like, you know, kind of shifting the narrative to like what, you know, doing what you think you're supposed to do versus what you really want to do and like getting honest with yourself is very important.
I love that because you're right. Like if you think about the birthplace of like, let's say manifestation, it does originate in a thought. And this is why I tell people like, use your imagination to dream up what's possible for you, what you actually want. Because if you can't even like cultivate that in a mental space, then it can't come to life. So I know it sounds like common sense in a way, But I think there is a lot of power, like you said, in exploring, curiously exploring that question of like, what do I want? Not what everybody else is telling me to do or what I think I should do, but like, what's right for me? And then kind of like sit with that and imagine, like put some visual context around that. And then step two, like you said, give yourself permission to go after it. I just love it because when you get to that point, it's kind of like it's in motion, right? And of course, like you said, it takes a ton of courage to put yourself out there like that. But that's where things start opening up. And you start to see like, oh, I am literally creating the thing that I planted in my mind. I chose it mentally. And now it's coming to life through my, I guess, inspired actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it creates magnetism when you first like acknowledge it. Oh my God, this is so scary. But I'm just going to start like baby steps, getting curious. And then like the more steps you take towards like what you really want, whether that's partner or job or, you know, moving across country or whatever it is, just taking those baby steps creates magnetism, that aligned action. And then, you know, through that, like kind of moving through the fear, you're building momentum towards moving towards what you truly desire.
Yes. Yes. And this kind of comes into another thought that I've just been exploring and unpacking for a while now. And this is around the idea of like, I don't know if this is true, or I know there's some science that's kind of backing this up, but the idea of like, you know, our thoughts create a certain type of energy, or like think about it where you're focusing your attention in this, on this thing or this idea. And the more that you focus that thought, or let's call it energy, the more it starts to move that energy in a certain direction. And, you know, I'm both, I would call myself kind of a both mystic and I love science as well. So I'm kind of like using both worlds to help make sense of how does this actually work? But there's something about that, like when you pay attention to, let's say, that thing or that idea of what you want, that energy like expands, like you said, or it attracts, or there's something happening in this kind of invisible field that we can't see that's at work or at play. I don't know. Have you kind of explored it from that angle before?
Yeah. I mean, I have. Definitely. I think it's funny because when we talk about the job situation that I was in a couple of years ago, like I wasn't necessarily thinking about it as like manifestation. But when I look back, there's a lot of like, I think magnetism that was created by finally owning what I want, taking aligned action towards it. And I think also I do this practice called TBM. So it's To Be Magnetic is the company. And so the three things I say you have to have in motion is aligned action, like taking action towards your goal, being expanded enough. So knowing that it's possible. So either seeing someone else that, you know, has done this similar thing and knowing, then giving you the belief that you can do it. And then also like unblocking. So moving through that fear to make it happen. And that's really difficult, but I was doing those things. I wasn't thinking like, this is the formula or whatever. I was just doing those things because I was like, this is what I have to do. Cause I'm not happy. So I think, I think at the time I wasn't thinking about it that way, but looking back, I was taking steps like that, like the finding the expansion in others, like other entrepreneurs, other freelancers who had sort of taken that leap and they're doing well. And then, you know, walking through the fear, like acknowledging the fear, but doing it anyways. And, you know, so I think following those actions like did lead me to a path that like, I'm much more happier on now. But yeah, I think like finding what works for you though. So I think like those three things, like, those help me now, like sort of like expansion, unblocking, and making sure that like I'm moving on the right path towards my goal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like how you said that. It's making me realize there are so many different ways to talk about this.
Yes.
Like you could take it from a psychological standpoint and break down, you know, what's happening mentally or emotionally. You could take it in a scientific direction, talk about energy and the quantum mm-hmm. field of possibilities, or you could take it in a mystical direction and maybe frame it in this, oh, tuning into frequency or synchrony or something. Like, there's all different ways that I think people are trying to explain and understand, you know, how to get from point A to point B and making things more real. But even just how you explained it, it's just kind of like, it's not, I don't want to say it's like simple, but it kind of is in a way. Like,
yeah, I think it's the practices of, like, you know, finding expansion and getting unblocked, you know, those are definitely like the concepts themselves are simple, but I think like actually doing that work is very, very difficult, and you have to be so intentional about it as well. Like, it's not, and what I mean by that is, I don't know. So it's not necessarily, I don't have anything against vision boards per se, but for me, like when I create a vision board, which I haven't really, like I've done a little bit in the past, but it feels very far away for me. It doesn't feel meaningful to me, but because I kind of get like overwhelmed with like, oh gosh, what color do I want to make my house or whatever, you know, like those sorts of things, I get overwhelmed. And like, and then I get into perfectionism and it just isn't, it's not helpful. But I think like with like finding expanders, like people who are like, oh, they did it, I can do this too. Or sitting with myself, journaling and saying, like, what feels so scary about this? What, why am I so scared about this? Mm-hmm. Like those kind of practices, like you're very, like very specifically focusing on, for me, like one particular thing that I want to move through, you know, and maybe that's helpful for some people, or maybe they want to put focus on like the grand picture of things and kind of like do it that way to guide them. But I think whatever you choose, like just be very, very intentional about it and reflective about it. It's not, it's something that you have to, it's just like anything else. It's like, it's work that you need to do to move through a situation or to manifest, get to a goal or whatever. And you have to sort of tune into the energetics and like the story that you're telling yourself about it so that you can see like, how do I make a way through and how do I get what I want through the situation? Hopefully that makes sense. I don't know.
Oh, totally. It does. It really does. Like I was kind of reflecting on, okay, well, what's my method that supports that? Because you're right. It's different for everybody. For me, I find like when I meditate every morning, I think all these practices do this to some extent. It creates a certain type of openness, mm-hmm. Not just to possibility, but to like, or maybe awareness even is another word, where yes. it primes you to be able to kind of like shift your perception to mm-hmm. see more expansively. And yes. then I think oftentimes your actions will follow suit.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. You do have to be intentional. You do have to like take that step forward to some extent, but then it can create its own kind of momentum that like sort of carries you toward the thing that you want. And so it's this like in tandem type of thing. From my experience, where it's like you choose, you're intentional, and then you also surrender, and then you kind of
go. Yes. I think that's a good point. Like the surrender. I mean, I think that surrender is a huge part of it as well. And that's not to say, well, whatever, just whatever happens, happens. But I think like still having that, whatever your goal is or whatever you're working towards in mind, but also, you know, kind of trusting in whatever power source you trust in. Maybe it's your higher self. Maybe it's the planet, whatever you want to call it, just trusting in a higher, some sort of like, something beyond yourself or higher, like what's the word I'm looking for? Something that's bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And trusting in that versus like trying to control, because control is not going to get you anywhere. So you have to sort of like have this this dance between like intentionality and also just like kind of leaning into whatever power serves you and that you believe in to sort of guide you along in that process.
I love that, because I'll tell you what, and I've gone through this myself, I think so many of us struggle with control. Mm. And it's a coping strategy that we developed as kids that kept us safe. But like letting go and entering into trust again is so scary for so many people.
It is, yeah.
But when you can get there, that's when like all the magic starts to happen, I think. Like
yes.
synchronistic moments and I don't know if it's like your perception changes or if things actually start moving differently, but it just has that feeling of like, oh, I'm not alone. I'm connected to something else. Things are working out for me. My life is being created before my very eyes. There's surprises around every corner, you know? So it just kind of shifts how you experience the world, I think, when you're able to allow yourself to let go.
Yes, for sure.
So I'm curious to know, I think you might have mentioned one example. Do you have any specific stories or examples of like a synchronistic thing or something that felt like, what would we call it, a magical manifestation, or it just turned out differently than you thought or better?
Yeah, I mean, I think that like the job situation, like, you know, a few years back, like, so I, with my employer at the time, like we agreed for me to become like a freelance employee the following year. And so that took a lot of like courage and a lot of fear, or like me walking through fear to even like get to that point to ask that. And I was ready I was just ready for whatever answer that they were going to give me. I just had to tell myself that. And so when they agreed, that was wonderful. And we ended up signing a contract to for me to become freelance in the following year. And literally like probably less, maybe a couple days, a day later, like I started getting more opportunities from like other clients reaching out. And I hadn't heard from some of these clients since before I got in the job, like almost a year before. And so all of a sudden I was getting these opportunities like just kind of out of the blue, because I think I had 100% made that commitment to myself that I'm going to pursue what I really want. Mm. And then I think the universe started to respond to that and send me opportunities that way. I wasn't doing anything with those, with these other opportunities coming in. Like they literally just started coming in. And I think that was a true testament to like me standing my worth and saying, this is what I want and committing to that. And then the universe, or, you know, whatever you believe in, like for me, it's the universe responding to that intention and that commitment. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And these stories, they just get me so excited. I have so many of them myself. One that I want to share real quick. This was a couple of years ago. I had been in this time period where I separated from my ex-husband and I didn't have a permanent place to live. And so I was staying with a friend of mine, but I just like, I kept thinking at the time, like, where am I going to plant myself? I didn't want to rent an apartment. I wanted to buy something, but there just wasn't a lot in the market. And it just kind of felt like this impossible equation to solve. Like there just was nothing coming up and it just needed to be the right thing, you know? And so during this time, I happened to come over to a friend's house and I knew that they were going to be moving soon. They were renovating a house, I don't know, a couple streets down. And I just, it occurred to me to ask them, what are you doing with this place when you move out? So I did. And the woman was like, well, I don't know. We might rent it. We might sell it. And I was like, oh, okay. So I left. And then I had this impulse like, well, wait, I should ask her if I can buy it. Mm-hmm. So I followed that and I did. I said, hey, would you be open to selling it to me? And they sat on it and they were like, yeah, sure. And it ended up being just a couple of blocks down from where I used to live so that my kids were still in their neighborhood. They could flow back and forth between the houses. And so it was kind of a journey to get there, like even through the loan process and all of that. But finally the day came and I'm just sitting here like, how did this, the perfect square footage with the perfect neighbors that I want, who are so supportive. I mean, I still look back on that time and it's like, I didn't even do anything except ask a question and everything just worked itself out. And that's just one example of what I have experienced over and over and over of things just kind of like showing up, you know? And I love that because it insinuates again that, well, we don't have to try so hard, right? Like we can just follow the, let's call it intuitive impulse or the thought and let it carry us to the answer that we're trying to live into. So anyways, storytelling time.
Yeah, no, I love it. That's wonderful. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to ask you one last question because I know our time is coming to a close. What, Kelly, would you say, like, if somebody's listening to this conversation right now and they're like, I'm just stuck in my thoughts, I feel like I'm not able to get any traction on the things that I want or creating this new reality that you guys are talking about, what would be your first piece of, I don't know, advice that you would give them?
I think it's starting to get really honest with yourself about, like, you know, there's this like that buzzword, like radical honesty, radical acceptance. But I think this idea of like radical acceptance, or just, you know, sort of looking at the situation that you're in and saying, like, you know, what kind of responsibility, and I'm not saying if like you're in like a, you know, dangerous situation, it's not your fault, or I'm not saying that, but like kind of thinking about like, how can you take radical responsibility for and accept it and be in radical acceptance of your current circumstances. And then think, and it's not about shaming or blaming yourself or anything like that. It's just, and I use that curiosity, say, you know, why am I here? What is this teaching me? What is, you know, just kind of getting curious about whatever it is that you're feeling stuck in. And that can be hard to create, you know, that distance sometimes. So if that feels too overwhelming, you can, you know, go get support, go to a friend, go to a therapist, whatever your support system looks like. But I think take like some kind of radical honesty and acceptance of, you know, your current circumstances is the only way you can sort of like begin to move through it. And then also like giving yourself permission to explore, to dream, even if it's just like baby steps, you know, like maybe, you know, planning like a fun afternoon, like to give like an hour or afternoon to like explore, you know, a dream that you have or whatever. I think the permission and the curiosity part, and then moving into like, you know, whatever acceptance looks like and responsibility for you. And all of that doesn't have to be like in a day. Like it can be, like, again, give yourself permission to go in baby steps too. So hopefully, because I mean, I think just looking back on my experiences, I had to get really honest with myself and say, this is not working. What do I need to do? Like, how can I help myself sort of like move through this and like, empower myself. Yeah.
Love it. I love that growth mindset because it implies that like you get in the driver's seat of your life. You start taking ownership. You're not outsourcing it or pointing fingers at other people for why you're in this situation. You just kind of acknowledge like, this is where I'm at. And saying at the same time, I can explore more.
Yes.
And it, again, takes courage. So like, if you need support to get there, I know I did.
Yes.
I needed that. Then like lean into that. But that's where things will open up and you'll start to feel the rewards of taking those bold steps. So I love how you pointed that out. Okay. I'm going to tie up with the questions I ask all my guests, which is number one, Kelly, what are you working on right now that has you excited?
Oh my gosh. What am I working right now? So I think I've realized for myself in this last year or so that I want to grow in my career. And part of that is sort of like taking more steps to be visible in my subject matter expertise around content and storytelling. So I'm actually working on a course on content marketing that, you know, I think will probably be done in the next few months, but I just started working on that. It's a digital course. I'm excited about that. And also the fear that I'm experiencing and like the imposter syndrome in it too, like just kind of welcoming it all.
I appreciate your transparency because guess what? We all feel that whenever you're starting that new thing and it's just like big and scary, you just feel like you said, an imposter, like who am I? But then you just go with it and eventually you become the expert. So I love that you're going for it. Okay. And then if people want to know where they can find you, can you direct us where they could get to know you or your content?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm on Instagram, K Grace Thomas is my handle or whatever user. I don't know what the right term is. And then kgrace.co is my website that you can kind of peruse my portfolio and get to know me a little bit more. But my Instagram is probably more where you can
see more of my personality and who I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I will definitely link all of that in the show notes so people can find you. And I can too. I'm going to attest to Kelly because she was so helpful to me in terms of my content strategy and just put so much like organization and support around even a lot of the technological pieces that I felt so inadequate.
Oh, thank around. You.
So I'm just like giving you props because
thank you. You did a
phenomenal job with, yeah, with your work. So.
Oh, thank you, Carrie. Well, so nice to speak with you today. I appreciate it. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah. Absolutely. Kelly, it's been such a pleasure to have you here today and just, you know, talking about healthy mindset, manifesting the outcomes we want. Who doesn't want that, right? So I think just discussing it and hopefully people are starting to see like what's able to be more possible in their life. And it's such an empowering way to live. So I appreciate you sharing your journey and all these insights that you've gleaned along the way. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Carrie.
Well, everyone, I invite you to check out Kelly's website and her links. And I just thank you for taking the time to tune into this conversation. And until the next one, I just encourage you to pay attention to the power of your mind and how that can connect you to everything that you want and everything that you already are.
If this episode resonated with you, I have something that you might love. Part of what helps me live a life free of stress and anxiety is embracing genuine connection with myself and others. Building a coaching business centered on this principle has sparked many of my clients to their own success while offering me the passion of getting to do what I love every day. If you're looking for support to overcome your own anxiety and overwhelm, I invite you to check out my new 12-week program, Connect to Your Core, where I help you discover what it is that you truly want and support you to have authentic and empowered relationships. I'll link it in the show notes, so check it out if you're interested. And I'm so glad you joined us. So remember to stay connected.